Hi, my name is Hudson Hill. I'm an extension educator with the University of Wyoming Extension. Really glad to be here with you today. Generally in Wyoming, we don't talk a lot about poultry or chickens. But at the risk of sounding like a coyote in a cartoon, I'll tell you what, chickens are really a wonderful species. We see chickens used all over the world in many different situations, in some situations to bring people out of poverty, and here in Wyoming, I've been able to teach a class in almost every county in the state because people are interested in having chickens around. Chickens work really well on, big ranches. They work really well in small backyards and everything in between. So there's a lot of really good things about chicken, and as we get going through the presentation here, hopefully I can give you some steps and some ideas to really get started down the right track as you think about and start raising chickens. So as we get started talking about chickens, I think one of the things I'd like to stress is something I stress with cattle ranchers, with sheep producers, with hog producers, people who want to do goats, alpacas, and everything else. If you don't enjoy the animals that you're trying to raise and produce with, you're probably not going to be successful. So one of the things that I think is particularly interesting with chickens is deciding why we want to have them, why we want to have them around, because there's really a long list of reasons to have chickens around. I have a list here. It certainly could be added to, I'm sure, for certain people. But I'll go through it really quick. Chickens actually make good pets and companionships. We see kids turn them into pets. My kids have had chickens that if they sit down in the backyard, they'll run over and jump in their lap just like a cat or a dog. I know people who are older who don't get to spend a lot of time outside that'll feed the chickens outside of a window or outside of a door so that they get to watch those chickens and see what they're doing all day, because chickens are really an interesting animal, and I'll talk a little bit about that through the presentation. Boy, chickens will take care of insects. You got earwigs around or something else bugging you. You have chickens around, they will control the insects. They might scratch all of the cedar bark out from underneath the bushes in the front, but they will get rid of the bugs. One of the main reasons, and probably the number one reason people want to have chickens around, is to have eggs. Really good source of protein, a really good food. Eggs, eggs from your homegrown chickens are certainly different than the ones you can buy in the grocery store. You can feed chickens in a way that you can actually change the taste and have a really healthy breakfast, if you will. Also, chickens are a source of meat. I'll talk about it really quickly in the presentation, but we've done a lot of meat chickens over the years. Certain things you can do to kind of be successful at that, but lots of people eat chicken. Exhibition, our 4-H kids like to show chickens at the shows. They make a really good exhibition animal. Fats and oils, over the years, we've really enjoyed being able to make our own broth and use that broth in different recipes. Certainly a different product than you'll get in the store. So I'm going to go on to the next slide here and add a few more, but it is important to know why you want chickens around. So going on, chickens are really good aerators. They'll move the compost pile around, they'll move piles of cow manure around, horse manure. They do a really nice job scratching around, aerating soil and other stuff. Also, they make natural fertilizers. Chicken manure is high in nitrogen. It's a readily usable nitrogen for the most part, and it's a natural fertilizer we can use in our yards. The last thing, I actually had one of the participants in my class tell me I needed to add to the list, and I thought I should. Having chickens is a way to participate in something that sustains life. We're part of the chain. We're kind of making our own food, and some people really get a lot of enjoyment out of that. And in many ways, chickens might be the easiest and most adaptable way to start that in our own lives. Here's one of the reasons I have chickens, to raise kids the right way. This is my daughter. Over the years, end of May, we will get somewhere between 700 and 1,000 chickens in over here in Lincoln County, and my daughter usually gets to stay home from school. We'll take somewhere between 100 and 200, and we'll put them in our own brooder to raise for ourselves. And she gets to handle everyone and dip their beaks and takes care of them. And she even gets to miss school. Don't tell the principal and the teacher. But it's the way that we've decided to raise kids. Hopefully those kids can turn out pretty decent. And that's one of the main reasons we've done chickens. Along the same lines, this is my son when he was a lot younger. He's gone now, but he turned out all right. He always had a summer poultry project. Learned a lot from it, made some money from it, and it was just a really good project for him to have growing up. And again, this is one of the main reasons we've chosen to have chickens around over the years. So let's really start talking about how to be successful with poultry, with chickens in your backyard. The first thing is we really need to identify the type of chicken we want. I've got four types of chickens listed here. The first one's a meat chicken. It's a broiler. There's three or four breeds that are specifically designed to grow fast, be big, and create something for Sunday dinner. We've done a lot of these over the years. I've taught a lot of classes on these over the years. The type of chicken that most people are interested in is a layer bird. There are dozens and dozens of breeds about layers. I've got a slide here in a minute that will talk about what you might try to choose as you pick what breed you want as a layer bird. But you're really looking at birds that produce eggs. There are dual purpose birds. I tell people if you're really interested in meat, go with a meat bird, not a dual purpose bird. But there are dual purpose birds, and it turns out that those dual purpose birds work pretty well as layers in Wyoming. We have some little bit colder temperatures, and a little bit bigger bodied bird tends to work in Wyoming. The last type is bantams. Bantams work in really small ways or with people who want chickens to look at, to be around. Bantams are smaller. They still lay eggs. They certainly could still be eaten. They're smaller. They tend to have colorful feathers and do some interesting things in that way. So, here's some steps to success. There may be other steps, but these are Hudson steps to success raising chickens. Picking the right breed, having the right housing, really being able to take care of your chicks, then nutrition, proper use. And when I talk about proper use, that's really about how do we use the meat, how do we use the eggs, and how do we prepare that. Won't go into that in depth in this presentation, but. And then the last one, and really an important one in Wyoming, is we have to, before we buy birds, we have to prepare ourselves for predators. There simply is no place in Wyoming that we don't have to worry about predators. And my experience is quite often predators are the neighbor's pet cats and pet dogs. But there isn't anywhere in Wyoming that we won't run into coyotes, foxes, skunks, and raccoons also. Even in the biggest cities in Wyoming, right downtown, right in the middle of our subdivisions, we see troubles with all of those predators. So this the one of the most important things to be successful in a backyard chicken project is to have a plan for predators, because nothing ruins a project faster than something running away with our birds. Sometimes when I talk about this slide, it gets me in a little bit of trouble with chicken lovers. you can read all over the internet and in certain magazines how anytime it gets below 20 degrees, we're supposed to heat our chicken coops and take good care of our chickens. But I really stress that chickens are livestock. Once we get them through the chick stage, which we're about to talk about, and if we can keep them out of the wind and dry, chickens are as tough as a cow. And in this situation, I actually have a picture of a T-Rex here and a chicken. And if anybody's ever seen a young chick chase insects, I've watched a 3-day-old chick track a fly through the air. That fly lands on the wall, and I've watched that chick grab that fly off the wall at 3 days old. Anybody who's watched chickens very much will see that they are tiny T-Rexes, and they're tough, and they can do certain things. So, as we move forward in this presentation, I really consider chickens livestock, something to produce with. I'm fine with you liking them, enjoying them, even having pets with them. But they're tough animals. So here's my chick care tips. We get chicks through the mail. Many people pick them up at a store, at a co-op. But here's the things to really take care of those first few days, and even for a couple of weeks. Chicks are pretty vulnerable. They're just a little puff of wind, and they're pretty vulnerable for a few days. So when we get them through the mail, they've gone through the mail for a day or two, and they need to get a drink of water. Chicks, the last thing chicks do in an egg is they take the yolk of the egg and they encapsulate it in their body. When you get chicks, you can kind of actually feel their abdomen. It's kind of distended. So they're okay for a day or two in the mail, but when they get there, we really want to get them started on water. Especially the meat birds, we do not want them getting dehydrated. We actually dip their beaks. Feed is the next thing. We want feed there. We want it right on the ground. We want them to be able to eat it. I'll talk about feed here in a minute, but feed's important to make sure that those chicks, when they're just a day or two old, have access to feed all the time. Sorry about that. The following are Hudson Hills steps to chick care. Many people, we get them through the mail. They come in a box. Many people get them through the farm stores or the co-ops. And you might even have a broody hen raise a few chicks for you. Regardless of the way you're getting them, you need to think about these things for your chicks. So the first thing, especially when they come through the mail, these chicks have spent a day or two in the mail, and we want to make sure that they get a drink of water. Chicks, the last thing they do in the egg is they envelop the yolk into their abdomen, and they can go several days without water. But when they get to the house, we really like to get them a drink. So we dip their beaks, every one of them, and they go right to water as soon as they feel that beak on their that water on their beak. Feed, we start with the starter feed. We get it right on the ground, right where they can get at it. We absolutely want feed for those first few days all the time in front of those chicks so they can eat. Bedding's just there to make sure that the chickens don't get too wet. They're not running in filth, but we don't want too much bedding, and that's why I have it on the list. A lot of people get so much bedding in there that chicks are eating the wrong things and some other stuff. What might be the most important one many days here in Wyoming is heat. We have some cold days, and chicks really need to be the right temperature. And if anybody's ever seen an old broody hen in the farmyard with a set of chicks, she'll have 8 or 10 chicks run underneath her, and she'll put her wings down and she'll sit on those chicks. She'll warm them up, and then those chicks will come back out and run around and scratch around. And we really want to mimic that in our brooders. A heat lamp will take 25 to 50 chicks. And we really want to monitor what's going on with those chicks. We want it to be just like in the barnyard with the broody hen. Those chicks will run underneath the heat, they'll get warm. And then they'll run back out. They'll get a drink. They'll run back underneath and get warm, and then they'll run back out and they'll get a little bit of food. If we see chicks huddled underneath the lamp, trying to get warm and fighting to get to that warm spot, we probably have too much draft, or the lamp's not low enough. It's too cold for those chicks. What we really like to do is before we get the chickens, put a thermometer underneath the lamp, and right underneath the lamp, we want it to be 95 degrees without a lot of draft coming over the top of those birds. The next one's light. Chickens love light. Anything we do to get natural light in there, it seems to help them get some going on the right schedule, and they just really like light. And then all the environment around them, and I'll include the keeping them safe with this. But for those first couple of weeks, they need to be protected from the wind, the environment. We can't have them wet. It's really important that we do that for the chicks. Here's the slide I was talking about earlier. There's lots of different selection criteria to decide what kind of laying hen you want. There's lots of different breeds out there. It's always interesting to me what breeds people want on their place. I usually go through a bunch of different breeds and talk about them, have some pictures. I don't have enough time in this presentation, but I will show you my least favorite and my favorite laying hen on my place. The important thing to understand is just because they're my favorite or my least favorite doesn't mean they should be yours, because there's different criteria for different people. So here's just some criteria to think about. Their foraging ability. We have chickens that'll go up to a quarter mile, half a mile, leaving the roost and going out chasing insects, and doing some things. If they're foraging that far, we better be distanced from the neighbor. Hopefully we've got some protection for them and not a lot of predators around. But there are birds that have a lot of foraging ability. And then there's others that'll stick real close to home. Egg production's one that a lot of people are interested in. There's certain chickens that'll raise 6 eggs a week. There's others that'll do two or three. So egg production's important. Climate hardiness. One of the things I laugh about is lots of times people see those feather-footed chickens, and they'll say, "Oh, those would be the best ones for Wyoming. They've got feathers on the feet that'll keep them warm." And it's actually the opposite. Those feather-footed chickens are a tropical bird, and they're not as climate hardy as some of our other breeds. Multipurpose. Do we really want to use the birds for both eggs and meat or something else? Behavior. And people laugh at this one all the time, but I think it's important. There's a lot of behavior differences in chickens. There are chickens that make good pets, and there's chickens that don't. Eggshell color. If you're raising eggs in the backyard, you probably want brown eggs or something else. White eggs, you can buy any time in the grocery store. People raising them in their own yard probably don't want to raise white eggs, but maybe you do. And then cost and availability. There are certain breeds of chickens that are always available, and they cost the least. One example are the sex-linked birds. They're easier to sort in the hatchery because you don't have to turn them upside down and look at their bottoms to see if they're boys or girls, if they're male or female. They have different colors, they have different coloring on their heads or on their wings that you can just see that they're a cockerel or a pullet. So they're cheaper and more available. There are other criteria to look for, but those are the ones that I think will get you started on trying to decide what breed of chicken you would like. So if you don't know who this is a picture of, you're too young. This is my least favorite breed of chicken. Anybody who has a little gray in their beard should know that this is Foghorn Leghorn. He is a Leghorn chicken. This is the most common bird to have around. This is the most productive bird if you're looking at eggs. This bird will lay the most eggs per ounce of feed of any other breed. And still, it's my least favorite bird, which is kind of interesting because most of the time I'm a productionist. I want to produce things. This bird is a really small framed bird. They're really designed to make eggs. They're loud, they're noisy, they're flighty. They're just not my favorite birds. So that's just one example of how you might decide what kind of breed of chicken you would like. Now let me show you my favorite breed of chicken. It's the Buff Orpington. The interesting thing about this bird is they're large. They work really well in Wyoming. They lay good, big brown eggs. They lay really good in the cold, and they weather the cold really good. All of those things make them popular, and all those things make me like them. But the thing that I like most about these chickens is when they're out in the sunlight, boy, they just look like a gold bar shining in the sun. They're just really pretty, and they're stately. They're calm. They're nice to be around. They don't make a lot of noise. They're just kind of ladylike. I really enjoy having these chickens around. So I really wouldn't be doing my job today if we didn't talk about feeding our animals. Feeding chickens is, one of the most important things we can do. And so I thought I would talk about the classes of feed. Most people doing chickens are buying a complete feed, a bagged feed, and there's a couple things to think about as we're buying bagged feed. So the first class of feed is a starter feed. It's really for all chickens. When they're chicks, the starter feed tends to be refined a little more. It's a little smaller, so the small chickens can get at it. Sometimes it'll even have a treatment in it. It can be a treated feed to help the chicken stay healthy. The next type of feed is a grower feed. Really kind of designed for a meat type bird, a bird that we're trying to get weight on fast and grow. This feed will probably have a minimum of 18% protein in it, really to try to get those chicks to grow and grow fast. The next one is a developer feed. The developer is really designed for layers. A layer takes about 16 weeks to get, so most breeds will start laying at about 16 weeks. So the developer feed is designed to help a chicken grow and be mature by about 16 weeks. Finisher is another meat type, has a little less protein and a little more energy in it generally, just to feed those meat type birds for the last half or the last third of the production cycle to get them ready to put into the freezer. The last feed I'll talk about is a lay feed, and it's really important to talk about this lay feed. This lay feed is for any class of chicken that's in lay, meaning any chicken that's laying eggs needs a lay feed. And the reason they need a lay feed is because it'll generally have 4% calcium in it. We need to remember that a chicken will lay its body weight and a half in 18 months in eggshells. So we need to provide some calcium in order for them to do that. And we really need to do that while those chickens are laying eggs. However, we don't want it to develop our pullets, to develop our young chickens that aren't laying with that much calcium. It fools the body and fools the body's ability to synthesize calcium and make the eggs. So when we get a lay feed, make sure that you look for and make sure it has the 4% calcium. If it doesn't, there's ways to add that to a chicken's diet. We can buy an oyster shell supplement or something else that can get the calcium to them. That's a really simple way to look at feeding, but that's the way most people are doing it. I mentioned up front the fastest way to ruin a chicken project is to have a problem with predators. This is my backyard. There's a little over 100 birds in a electric poultry fence that's 165 feet long. The electric fence works for every four-footed predator, everything from a weasel up to a grizzly bear. And over the years, we've just really decided that the electric fence flat out works. There's other things you can do. Backyards and Barnyards actually has an article on how to build an automatic door for your chicken coop. We can use barriers and wire and other things. Over the years, we've really found out how effective this electric fence is. Call me sometime and I've got some stories for you. Here's another close-up of that electric fence. We really like it because we're rotating those chickens on grass from pasture to pasture. It's easy to move. It keeps the chickens in, it keeps the predators out, and it's just worked really well for us over the years. I mentioned one of the most important things about a chicken project is to have your systems figured out and be prepared to do the things you need to do. Here's at the end of the season putting some birds into the freezer. Having the right equipment and having a plan and really knowing the steps it takes to get that done. Here's another picture of the same thing, just doing it the right way and having a really nice product at the end of the day. I really enjoy talking about chickens. Again, my name's Hudson Hill. You can find me at the University of Wyoming Extension. Really enjoy answering questions. I answer questions for really most of the state about chickens. Chickens are hardy, they're easy to get started. But if you have some problems or have some questions, get a hold of me. Have a nice day.